There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along this hour and easy to get in touch. Phone line and the text line, well, they're the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. You could also use the FM Talk 106.5 app. Well, you could use it for a lot of stuff. It's like a Leatherman. It's a brand name. A multi-tool on your phone. You can listen to the station, check out the podcast. That's the first place they post. All our social media feeds in one place with breaking news and stories on that. Show schedules, all that good stuff. But you can also call us and text us from there. And if you look, there's a microphone icon on the front page, whatever you call that, landing page. I don't know. The main page. You press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, good to get this man back in studio. And as I mentioned last hour, if you look at, who was it, Southern Jedi on the text line says he wants to see my map collection. I'm going to start taking pictures. I got a lot of old maps. I love maps. This one I don't have, but it's embedded in the story that we're going to talk about. You look at a map of Mobile, and you'll see, you know, streets you know. Maybe streets, you know, they had different names back then, but you'll see the buildup to the east, to the north, to the south and the west, and not in the middle of this donut. In the middle of that donut is, well, where we're sitting now in our studios, where the malls are and a whole bunch more. That place is a large, mostly roadless area in the middle of Mobile, Rag Swamp. And back in, coming off his incredible story about Judge Roy Beans, Josh Givens with Mobile Bay Magazine, good to see you.
Thanks for having me on today, Sean. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, too. This is, and by the way, once again, if y'all have not seen the story on Judges, pick up the hard copy, check it digital. The pictures in this, not only did Josh do an amazing job telling the story and interviewing the players in Judge Roy Beans, the pictures are all sourced from readers.
All sourced from readers and from the folks that we interviewed in the article. It was incredible.
Like, I knew some people, but when I showed this to people my brother's age, like I told you when we, like, the reason I had to go to Judges growing up is I have an older brother and hearing them talk about it. You show that to them, they're like, oh, that's so-and-so and so-and-so and so. I mean, it was like a family reunion.
It really was. It was walking down memory lane for everybody. All the nostalgia was there. I mean, you just can't beat that.
So, and it's fantastic. Y'all check it out. And so when Josh was in last time, too, and I love his writing in the magazine, I said, you did a story that was fascinating to me about Rag Swamp. So growing up, I heard of Rag Swamp. Of course, Comet Cowboys, that's the headquarters in Rag Swamp. And people talked about Rag Swamp, and oh, where the mall is Rag Swamp. That's pretty much what I knew. There was a swamp there. Now there are malls there. You did a story and told the story of Rag Swamp. It's fascinating.
Yep, there's a whole lot of history there, and I heard you say at the top that you're a map guy and that you like old maps.
Love old maps,
and that you didn't have the map because it's embedded in the story. Well, you've got the map now because I sent it to you in a Facebook Messenger, so it's sitting in your DMs if you want to pull it up.
Ooh,
and you can see it real big now and zoomed in and everything because it's a little unclear in the article. So
yeah, and
it's a little hard to see.
Okay, so let's paint the picture with words right now. What are we looking at in this map? Like, tell us about this kind of hole in the middle of Mobile.
Right. So this is geographically, it's a lot bigger, I think, than most people think.
Because it went way north, reading your story.
Like, way north, and it actually stretches east to west between, like, literally where Mobile County ends and the Mississippi state line is, and then all the way back. So it's kind of a larger area than most people think. but it encompasses what would now be the mall area.
Yeah, so the smaller definition of it, what we'll talk about here.
Most of Airport Boulevard.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll define, but we'll give some streets to let people kind of picture where they were. So if you were at the Loop, you weren't in Rag Swamp, right?
Right.
If you were Sage, were you in Rag Swamp?
Right, yes.
Okay, absolutely. So y'all, there's a transition, and you may not notice it driving through, you know, our fair city, but there is, we're not completely flat. Yeah, this isn't South Louisiana. We're not completely flat. There are ridges. So that area, so the Loop was not in Rag Swamp. Sage, Rag Swamp.
Right.
Now let's travel west. We know that where Spring Hill College is, and Spring Hill wasn't in Rag Swamp. It's a pretty big hill.
Right.
So that's one side that's not in.
Right. So you go west. This is like central, all the way west to like Sage Avenue, from Old Shell down to like Cottage Hill Road.
Okay. So that point.
North and south, yeah.
And in this map that you'll see, it's not like there was Mobile ended and there was nothing, because there were roads to the north, roads to the south, development. I say people living, obviously, right. Spring Hill and all that to the west. But there was this donut hole in the middle that had Grant Street, which became Airport, right?
Airport, yes.
Through there. And that's about another road, and that's about it.
Right.
And so this was truly a swamp.
This was a wetland. So this was like a, you know, an area that there was just tons of cypress trees there. There was the whole terrain was real boggy and real, you know, marshy. Mm-hmm. And it was one of those areas that, you know, you don't really think about it because the urbanization that's taken over, you look back and you think 150 years ago, there's no way that it would have looked like that, but it did.
And now it's the area y'all may be stuck at the stoplight right now,
right,
in that area. And the process of turning it, and I want to talk about the history of it, but the process to get it from that you described 150 years ago to where somebody's sitting at a traffic light on Airport right now is also kind of shows up right here where we're working. I've got Montlamar Creek very close here. There's a Slava Creek. Mm-hmm. These were channelized and ditched, right?
Right. So you had to, you know,
get the water off.
You had to get the water off. There had to be the drainage. And so you put that much asphalt over an area like that, and you know, you're talking, you know, a level of change that, you know, like when I interviewed Miss Judy Stout for this article, right? I mean, she's the expert on all of this, and she talked about it like it was like, you know, putting a cap on a bottle and squeezing a bottle. You know, you've got all of this drainage that's about to all that water has to go somewhere,
right?
You know, so it's like all the storm water and all of that stuff has to run off somewhere. And she said, we don't really think about, you know, the effects of all of that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
When you talk about that level of, you know, industrialization and urbanization and all of that taking over an area that large, you don't think about the effect that it's going to have on the natural wetland.
No, but it absolutely does. You think, you know, if a drop of rain had fallen 150 years ago in Rag Swamp, the time it would take it to make it from there to Dog River would be a lot longer than it is today.
That's right.
It makes it there very quickly. So they drain out, but we'll get to, so that's how we got there. But what was going on in Rag Swamp before it was drained? Because when y'all read the story and check it out, I mean, you had me at the picture of two guys in a little John boat fishing. I'm like, where? They're where the mall was, and they were fishing, and they were camping out in the outdoors, and there was wild game here and everything.
Oh, yeah, that was one of our favorite pictures for the article,
it's
actually.
Cool.
It's the one that went through Instagram. It blew up on Instagram like crazy. That one got a lot of attention.
It's a lake big enough, y'all, that they're fishing in it. I mean, right here somewhere by where we are in town.
Yep. Yeah, and this was Royce Ray and a couple of his buddies. It was really fun to interview him particularly. You know, the science behind all of this is fascinating, but again, and you know this just from, you know, us talking Drudge Reporting, like I'm a storyteller, so I love the human element aspect of all of this stuff. So it's like, we got to give the history, we got to give the black and white facts, we got to give the dates, the geography, and all that stuff. But then let's get into like, okay, what was it like for the people that lived through this, that experienced it? And Royce's stories were just phenomenal. I mean,
and this was 1950s.
1950s. And you read some of his stuff, and it sounds like something out of like you know, Stand By Me.
Yes.
You know,
or yes.
It's like it's Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn type stuff. You
but
know?
It's going on right here in the middle of town.
Right here in the middle of town.
You know, what is now the middle of town, and they're going. Y'all read through this. His description of grabbing their camping gear.
Yep.
Heading out, and that's what they did. They went out overnight. They camped in what is now the mall.
The mall area. And for that time period, what's really amazing about that to me is that kids today, you think about my generation, you know, I'm 40, you think about the generation behind me, they would almost think it unbelievable that parents would just let their teenagers disappear into the woods mm-hmm. overnight and go hang out for a while, you know, and just, like, go off and camp, you know.
I mean, no way to get in touch with them.
Yeah.
Just y'all make it back by.
Y'all have fun. Be back.
Yeah.
You know,
before church on
before
Sunday.
Before church on Sunday. Exactly.
Like, that's a little. If we go back in it, you describe. So the city of Mobile's building up. It meets this wetland here.
Yep.
And you know, obviously, it was not easy to build on or make money from, except for Mr. Rag, right?
Oh yeah, and
it's where it gets its name from, y'all.
Right, and you go back to the history there. So he's a 19th century British immigrant, George Rag, who came over, and that was really fascinating to me because you go back to like the map that we talked about that mm-hmm. I sent you, 1935 Haskins map. The swamp was drained; it was paved over, you know, mid 1950s for the commercialization of the development of Bel Air Mall. Interstate 65 and all of that. But a lot of people don't know that Rag came in and operated a water mill there.
Yeah, so this is something I didn't think about. You know, grist mills were a big deal
right.
back in the day. I mean,
right.
I remember our grandparents talking about them.
Yep.
But where would you have – we have tons of water, but you got to have water that flows that you can dam up to turn the wheel.
Correct.
And he decides to do this in the middle of a swamp.
In the middle of a swamp. Yeah, and it was so that he could grind grain for it was molasses and what was it, sugar and some other stuff mm-hmm. like that. Yeah.
So I mean, that's where you went to get your stuff ground.
Right, right.
Which made there be at least a road.
Yeah.
Going in there because he had to get the stuff in and out.
Yep.
Right. So yep. And do we know? I would love. I don't know if you LIDAR this stuff anymore because everything's. But where possibly. That grist mill sat. I mean, it had to be on one of these. Man. It had to be on a Slava or yeah. Montlemore Creek. It had to be on. I mean, you had to have some water sure. to dam up
yeah.
to turn the grist mill. I just wonder where out here that would have sat back then.
Right. Yeah. That would be amazing to know. I think I would venture to say it had to be a Slava. That's a guess though on my part. So.
And so somewhere along, you know, obviously it's been channelized and changed, but somewhere along that. There, can y'all picture, as you ride around today, there's a lot of folks listening to us right now that look at these things.
Oh, yeah.
Can you picture a grist mill with a big wheel turning here in what is the center of Mobile?
Of Mobile, yep. Yeah, especially with all of the – it's hard to picture something like that, especially for the level of, you know, like you say, the industrialization that's happened with the mall. I mean, it's just like, you know, people have no idea that 150 years ago this place looked – as different as it does today. You know, you think about just the full stretch of Airport Boulevard from the mall heading back west, right, towards the airport.
Right.
That entire stretch of Airport Boulevard was just swampland. It was a wetland. It was, you know, there was nothing there.
People are going to rethink their commute on this for sure. Coming right back, more with Josh Givens. We're talking about Rag Swamp. I already got some text in on this from people who have memories or have family members had memories of it.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 123 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Josh Givens back in studio. Read his work, Mobile Bay Magazine. This one, you have to go back a little bit. This was from 2024. Was
that 2024? Yeah, that was our entertaining issue for that that year.
And you got to see the photos are just. I mean, it's like if you're somebody that. Has lived here your whole life but never got to see this and see what was going on. It's pretty amazing. This texture said, my granddaddy said you could buy an acre of Rag Swamp for cheap. And also, I spent several weeks at Judge Roy Bean's one night. said, when my grandparents moved to Jackson Heights, which is right out here at Airport was a dirt road. That was about 1950.
Wow.
So in your map, that one you said was from 1930-something?
1935.
And it was called Grant.
Yep.
It wasn't called Airport then.
Right.
This is, people are like, this is great. A lot of text here of people who remember those days. But those of us who don't remember those days, you describe it here. So we talk about that grist mill. And then how do we transition from a place where it's the wilderness, and there's an old grist mill and a little road leading into it to Bel Air and Springdale Mall. I mean, how do we get what? So they channelized, they drained the water out. Who decided to do that? Was it investors? Was it the city? How'd that happen?
Right. So you had all of that industrialization going on, and I think one of the things that's so interesting there that a lot of people just don't know is, you know, that level of the acreage that you're going to have to purchase, right, for all of that to be to happen. So the guy who and I have his name here in the article somewhere. I was Weisenberger decided to purchase that area for, and it's like he modeled this whole mall area after a very similar development that he saw in Texas. So
okay,
so he wanted to build the whole thing around that concept and model what we were going to have at Bel Air after that development.
And so I mean, he probably goes in there.
Springdale.
Okay, it's pretty, and he probably goes in to buy the land, and people probably say, "Oh, sure, buddy,
right? Go, knock yourself out.
Knock yourself out here, man. The sucker's going to buy this land from us."
Yep.
And they do. And so when that starts, what, 50s, that's 60s? When do they start with that? I mean, I guess the channelization had to be a decade before.
Right. That would have been in the 1950s.
Okay. They start the channelization. And then we come in and buy it. Now we have malls. And we have a high density. And it is something that it's, you know, we can talk about areas of town. And, you know, I love history and long-term history of our area. But a lot of times we're talking about, well, 200 years ago, Sean, you know, 150 years ago, Sean, talking about this is 1950s.
Right.
It's not that far long ago.
It's really not. And it's crazy. I mean, you know, when Weisenberger got here, that was 1938, it was $12,000. It was a $12,000 purchase and it scored him 800 acres.
That's not per acre. It's $12,000 for the entire
right.
800 acres.
That's crazy. That's
but,
crazy.
But you know whoever sold it to him? Seriously, the way human beings are, they said, that sucker, we got him. We got him. He right. gave me $12,000 for this.
$12,000, yep.
And he was the one.
And at that time, the property was producing $6,000 a month in income, which is like nothing today.
Well, so, and it was producing that from the mill or
from,
what?
Right, from anything that was coming through there. I mean, he theorized that once construction on the Beltline Highway was complete, that it would skyrocket to $20,000.
Yeah, I remember reading that. Like, it's like, hey, it might go to 20,000. Yep. Look at it now.
Exactly.
Yeah, because the Beltline and the what we know now as a corridor was 65. They had it. It's in maps like it might happen here, but it wasn't there.
Right.
But they had, I don't know, the feds or somebody had said, hey, we might build this or.
I don't think so. I think that was, no.
They just projected it?
They just projected it, yeah.
So, and you, it's interesting, too. We talk about the story of the grist mill in the middle, but you also interviewed many people that lived on the periphery or in it, which was interesting as well. I mean, like, I never thought Trinity Gardens, I guess I should because it's low, it's wetland, but that was part of this rag swamp system.
It was. And the interesting thing there about Trinity was that it's not actually, Trinity Gardens is not inside the boundaries of the 1935 Haskins map. And I think there was, it was interesting because I thought it would have been. I thought it would have been within that same geographical because
– 3 Mile goes through there.
Right. Yeah. Labanus Fisher, who I interviewed for that particular section, kept referring to growing up in what she knew as Rag Swamp.
Right.
And for her, it was more of a community than it was anything else, right? Like you had the contrast between guys like Royce Ray who were like, hey, this is where we used to camp. This is where all of those crazy
this was our outdoors
happen.
Versus this is my home.
Right. This is my home. This is where I live. And she would talk about like a people group that grew up there and, you know, family stuff that happened there and all of that kind of stuff. That level of contrast was very fascinating.
Well, and in your interview with her too, if when y'all read this, she's talking about not only living there, but she's like, yeah, we hunted and fished for
our
food.
For food, yep.
In what's now Trinity Gardens.
Yep. Yes, sir.
But as y'all are picturing this, as you're driving through parts of town, and this is not somebody from the 1800s, y'all.
Nope.
These are people who Josh got to talk to.
Right.
That were hunting and fishing in Trinity Gardens.
Right. She talked about her parents coming there in 1945, which is incredible. And she lived there most of her life. Her mom and dad would tell her stories about growing up in what they would call Rag Swamp. And most of the people out there had never even heard of George Rag. They didn't know the history or any of that. They just knew
it was called Rag Swamp.
It was just called Rag Swamp.
You know, We'll talk about that. We'll come back from the break with more. But you mentioned Judy Stout. And Dr. Stout knew her from being down at Dolphin Island a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
And
Dolphin Island Sea Lab.
Yep. Marine biologist. But I never knew. And obviously with knowledge about wetlands, wetland ecology. But she also has an opinion, not just as a scientist. When she was growing up, she's part of this Rag Swamp story.
She sure was. Yep. She's got a lot of personal experience there. She sure does. She lived on top of it.
Okay, we'll come back. We'll get more of these stories in this discussion. Once again, if somebody wants to go check this out right now, unless they go rifling through stacks of back issues of right. Mobile Bay Magazine online, they can do it?
Yes, sir. MobileBayMag.com.
Okay, and just look for Josh Givens. Look for Rag Swamp.
Yep.
And you'll get
you can type in Rag Swamp into the search bar. Type in Joshua Givens into the search bar. You'll get the whole catalog.
There you go. Coming right back.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, so welcome back, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Ed, this is we'll go through some of these texts. Getting great text right now at 251-343-0106. Also, some calls you want to come in. Your stories of Rag Swamp. Same phone number, 251-343-0106. Josh Givens, Joshua Givens from Mobile Bay Magazine, our guest. And like I said, the most recent thing that has everybody talking out there is about it is the story of Judge Roy Beans, which is fantastic. But we were talking after that interview the other day. I said, man, your Rag Swamp story, man. And it was 2024, but It just lit something in me. It was so exciting to think about this wilderness place that's right here in the middle of the town.
Yeah, and I love the fact that, you know, you can look back and think about what was here before all of that took over. And then, again, as, you know, a storyteller, as a journalist, one of my favorite things to do is to take all of that history, all of that information, and all of that geography and say, okay, what was it like for the people that actually lived through that? What was the personal experience? I have to go after that.
But you get to, the beauty of this story is you're not looking through some old document at right. Mobile Public Library. Right. You're talking to
to actual people. Right. Yep.
Mike says, listen to this. My godfather won the deed to Rag Swamp in a poker game and gave it back because of the property tax. Said it would never be worth anything. Okay, Mike, I need more. That's a heck of a story.
More information on that story.
That is a good story. Irish Indian said, I started off playing baseball there at Springdale. There were two ball diamonds. I went to Westlawn School, lived off Florida Street, and played ball at the two diamonds at Springdale. Your dad was saying the same thing. You played there as well.
Yeah, that's what he remembers for sure.
Let's see. Unnamed texture here. There was a sawmill on the left of Cottage Hill Road at Malfunction Junction. So I don't know if that was the same one or...
Wow. I don't know if that would have been the same one as the original.
Because it seems like it would have been back... But I don't know. I mean, it's all theorizing. But there was a sawmill out in the middle of Rag Swamp.
Yep.
People asking, is there a book about this? Earl saying, is there a book? Dang.
I don't know of any book. I would be interested...
But we're all looking at you,
right, Josh. I would be interested to know if there's actually a history book out there on this. But all of this, all of the research and, you know, everything that went into this piece was all just internet article research, and it was all interviews.
And these interviews. Sorry.
Tons of information came from Judy Stout. Tons of information came from Royce Ray.
You know, it's cool to think about, too, because you probably have a lot more than made it into the story, into the magazine.
Oh, for sure. And there's a lot.
So maybe that's the makings of a book as we push it.
And there's a lot more experience in storytelling than actually had space to make it into the article. Right, there always is.
Yeah. So in a past life, I used to write, and you got these editors. You write, you're like, I got this story. It's really good. They said, yeah, well, it's.
Don't get me in trouble with Maggie.
You've given me 9,000 words here, Sullivan.
Right,
I told you to give me 1,500.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what happens. And she knows it.
Houndstooth on the text line said, when I was a teenager, And this is interesting because the way he says it, it's possessive, and that makes sense because we call it Rag Swamp. But he said, when I was a teenager, every time I told my dad we were going to the mall, he would say, over there in Rags Swamp. He always talks about the mall being in Rags Swamp.
Right.
Like possessive.
The possessive, right. And that actually happened a couple times in the interviews with Royce.
Okay.
I do remember that.
So that's when we call it Rag Swamp.
Mm-hmm.
It makes more sense if Rag was running then it would be possessive.
Right. Because back in that day, there was a personalization because it was the guy, it was George Rag. And today we're just looking back and it's named after a particular person.
Right. But yeah, back in the day, you would have said, well, that's Sullivan's place out there or Rag's place out there.
Exactly.
Let's see here. And we're going to get to the phones here in just a second. Let's see. Earl is seconding me. He says, make a book. I won't say what else he said in the text. He says, make a book. In other words, you got people out there. Our buddy Greg says, Dr. Judy Stout, definitely a rock star of the planet ecology world.
Oh, man, she was fantastic.
Yeah, so cool. All right, let's grab a call. Get those headsets on. You can hear because go to the phones at 251-343-0106. Talk about Rags Swamp. Gene is up next. Hey, Gene.
What's going on, man?
You. Tell me about your memories of Rags Swamp.
Well, when I was a kid, we moved to town. We lived out in the country, and we moved over Lafayette Street. And I used to ride my bicycle over there and go rabbit hunting. That's not the main thing I want to tell you. The main thing I want to tell you was the family that owned Neath Lumber Company used to go up in that swamp and cut peat moss out, put it on a wagon, and take it downtown. Now, I wasn't there because I'm only 85. This was his daddy. But they would load that thing up on Saturday. And if you ever notice those old houses downtown, got some little bitty fireplaces.
Yes.
And they burn that peat moss, and it's like a cigarette. You know, puts out a lot of heat. Don't put a lot, you know. But I thought that was very interesting.
So they were using that instead of coal. I mean, like in Ireland, they do that, right? They cut the peat and burn it.
Yeah, they're still doing that in Ireland.
So that was, they were cutting peat out of Rag Swamp, taking it on the wagon downtown, selling it for fuel.
Man, that's incredible.
That's on Saturday. They just chop that stuff all up during the week. And then I never did see it, but I mean, the old man that owned Neath Lumber Company, he was about 90-something when he died. And he told me about, yes, sir, Daddy, get that trailer all loaded up. We hooked a mule up. We ride downtown, sell that peat moss. I said, well, I never heard that story. I can't verify it, but you may find somebody that have a better point on than I did.
But
I,
this
did
is...
I did kill a lot of rabbits in there.
Well, that's what I would ask you, too, to think about, so peat moss being cut. I mean, we're talking about where the balls are, y'all, if y'all can't figure out where we're talking. But you rabbit hunted, so describe to a kid that grew up in the 70s here, like picture, like where would you go? How'd you drive? Where did you get to where you parked the car or the bicycle or whatever and started your hunt? Like where would that be today?
In the 70s, I wasn't in there. This was back in the 50s.
Sure, I'm saying for a kid, me, who grew up in the 70s, I'm trying to picture.
I don't know. By then, that's blacktop that summer.
Right. No. I'm with you. I'm trying to go in your memory, Gene. Like, you left the house, and where did you go to? Where would it be today that you were rabbit hunting back
basically
then?
Basically, go down the end of Dolphin Street there where it dead end down in the dead end of the swamp right there.
That's right.
Old roads back in there, this, that, and the other, but I'm not sure exactly. Hell, I'm 85 years old. I barely can't remember my name.
Gene, you're pretty fantastic. What a story. Thank you for checking in with us. We appreciate it.
Well, I thought you'd appreciate that because
nobody
never heard of that. And that old man, Neath, used to own Neath Lumber Company. And he had one hand missing. He lost it during World War I. So he got shot off. But anyway, I thought you'd be interested in seeing about that peat moss. That's probably people know a whole lot more about it than I did.
Gene, I am fascinated. Thank you for the call. So let's add that to the mix.
Man, that's incredible.
I mean, so not only, right, can y'all picture, so he's going to ride down Dolphin Street used to dead end there at Rag Swamp. So he's riding from east to west.
Right.
Stops where, then he's rabbit hunting in there.
Right.
And then before that, I mean, what a story. The guy who lost a hand in World War I is in there cutting peat to put on a wagon to take into downtown to sell for fuel for people's fireplaces.
This is the stuff you make books and movies out of, right? This is the stuff that, I mean, it's like people just don't think that this kind of thing was happening in an area like this, you know, because generationally, it's been so long ago that it's like you have to look, you know, a century or more back to actually see it.
And what I think is fascinating, too, and this is why referenced so many times at the beginning, the map, because you would think, okay, if somebody said, well, past the boundaries of Mobile to the west, this stuff was going on. You'd like, okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, this is the hinterlands and, you know, living in the woods. But at that time that these stories are coming in, there's built up Mobile to the west of Rag Swamp. I mean, it's a donut hole. It's not just like the city ended and then it's all wilderness. You would get through Rag Swamp and you get back into people on the other side.
Exactly. Yep.
Texture says the concrete median of Airport Boulevard from McGregor west to University is Grant Street. Okay. Airport was built on either side of it.
That would be the Grant Street would be the, that short little run in the middle.
Wait a second. I'm trying to picture this. The concrete median of Airport Boulevard from McGregor, okay, I'm picturing it, West University, got it, is Grant Street. Airport was built. So there was Grant Street would go from like the foot of the hill there up to the top of the hill where University comes across?
Right.
Oh, okay. We got to have another map here. Look at here. I know this man and I always enjoy talking to him and he's got an angle on this. You may want to put your headsets back on, Josh. Trip Pittman, former state senator, friend of the show, joins us now. Hey, Trip.
How you doing, Sean? I've been meaning to call you about Iran and a lot of other important things, but this is a whole lot closer to home and a whole lot more interesting. My grandmother, Gertrude Parker, actually bought part of Rag Swamp. They used to call her the Swamp Lady. She was a widow that moved to Mobile in the 30s from Bruton. And developed some of the Midtown area, but she actually bought the swamp or parts of it and then sold it later, I think, to some of the Delaney's where they developed the ball.
Delaney's had the balls. So this would have been in between, obviously, the grist mill and the guy, I forget his name, who came in.
Weisenberger.
And then she owned it and she sold it to them. So where, I guess, the balls is now Springdale?
Wow.
Yeah, that's... She did, and they called her the Swamp Lady because they thought that was a bad move, and she was a widow. But she built some apartments. In fact, she donated the land behind the cannon for that memorial park, and she planted a lot of
trees.
You're
kidding me!
Wow,
you're kidding me! I didn't know that was y'all's people.
Wow.
Well, it goes by in a hurry, right? A lot of people, you don't really get a chance. You don't talk about stuff. You know, it's not nice to talk about stuff like that, but in this situation,
it's fascinating.
You're talking about Rag Swamp, and you segue into a lot of history. Considering my mother passed last year, and so would have been her grandmother. My great grandmother was Gertrude Parker. So that's so it's amazing how fast time goes.
It is, and to think like I was talking earlier, they probably thought they had this developer. They're like, this sucker, we got it. You know, he paid, what'd you say, Josh, $12,000 for 800 acres? They probably say, we got him, that sucker. And look what he did. And they probably questioned Gertrude as well, right? Said, she bought swampland.
She developed some apartments and things because of all the shipbuilding during the war and all the people that migrated in. She provided that, that need. In fact, she bought the old Battles Hotel in Battles Wharf and had that for several decades, and also had rooms there for workers that would work, because you had the causeway that opened up and they could get back and forth once they were.
I'd be curious to know what she paid for it.
I
haven't ever looked at the deeds and the records. That's just hearsay from my mother. My mother and her grandmother were very close. They went on trips together, and my mother was the light of my great grandmother's eye, so they were very close.
What a story, Trip! Thanks for that. Thanks for checking in.
Well, you're welcome, Sean. Thanks for all you do, and you take care, and God bless.
Will do, man. We're adding chapters here.
Oh yeah,
to the book that Earl wants you to do.
that
I want you to do as well. Our buddy Milton at Milton's Honda said, I worked at McLeod Marine on the Beltline with LG Adams on the... Oh, my gosh, LG Adams. I hadn't heard that name in forever. I worked at McLeod Marine on the Beltline with LG Adams on the Honda side. The spring in the back of the building would make our bikes fall over. Boat trailers would sink.
Wow.
So you get rain runoff water, but absolutely, you've got the springs. I mean, backyard of the house I grew up in.
That's right.
It was covered up, but... Mm-hmm. You had to run with the lawnmower,
right?
And to get through there, or you're going to sink in that. And that's obviously incredible. Spring Hill, there's springs everywhere, but
right.
So those were feeding downhill into that as well.
Yep.
You have more Grant. So we're talking about Grant Street, also Dogleg to the left by Cottage Hill Road. Cottage Hill began at Grant Street. Fascinating. Fascinating stuff. All right, coming right back to wrap it up. You can do one more segment with us, right?
Yep.
I mean, we're writing the book as we do this. Make sure you check out the story we're all talking about here. You go into the archives for Mobile Bay Magazine. Just look for Rag Swamp. That's W-R-A-G-G. Although now I'm going to start calling it Rags Swamp.
Just put the possessive.
Yeah, I think it sounds a lot cooler.
It does.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I got 154 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. And check in with my friend Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Speaking of the jewelry part, Anna, how's that looking? How's your inventory on jewelry?
Oh, we have plenty of inventory, and it's not just the stuff that you see in the cases. There's the back safe right behind Eric, and then there's more jewelry in the back, especially rings and like pendants, earrings, a lot of sterling silver, fine gold, diamonds, and there's new stuff coming in every day that we process that's available with a discount at that point, because that's stuff that we have not processed yet. You know, we haven't shot it or listed it or inventoried it just yet.
You had me at discount. I like that. And, you know, I've said this before, too. Guys, maybe some ladies, but guys, when you go and Anna works with you on jewelry, here's how it works. I just put it in my language. You get the jewelry item. You give it to the lady. The lady smiles and she is happy. Then you come back to Anna and say, she liked the so-and-so. And then Anna goes, if she liked this, then she's probably going to like this and this. And then the next thing's a hit, and the next thing's a hit. And you make my life easy.
Oh, yeah. And you can basically create a set of things that be it like a matching earrings, a ring, a necklace. And over time, you can build it up. You don't have to, you know, drop a whole bunch of money all at once. You can slowly build it up.
Yeah, it's like you're telling my story. All right, well, tell folks how to find you to get that concierge service.
We're at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. You can find us on Facebook or on our website, mobilebaycoins.com. You can also call the store. Phone number is 251-725-1590.
Great stuff. I appreciate it, and we'll talk again next week.
Sounds good.
Thanks. All right, and that's Anna at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Just a minute or two, actually about 4 minutes left. And while we're focused, I mentioned Judge Roy Beans, and we're talking about the Rag Swamp story. There's a tons of stuff in our history and written in a very cool style that Joshua Givens does. So I commend you on that. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I love doing it.
You know, it does make it a little bit easier, I guess, when we live in a, you know, city's been here since. Although I did get checked a little bit when I was in Boston. You know, I was kind of cocky. You know, we're 1702, whatever, 1703. And they're like, yeah, well, we're talking 1640. I'm like, okay, you got us beat by a little bit. But we have an old city, and we have so many stories. And we have stories that probably, like, hearing the calls and the texts we've had today, haven't even been told.
They've never been told. That's right, yeah. And those are the kind of stories that we love to tell. Absolutely.
And still seeing more text. I would say that, is there an email for folks, because we're going to wrap up here in a few minutes. If they have more of these stories they want to get to you, can they email you at the magazine, or how do they do it?
Absolutely. Send them over my personal email. Okay. I'll give that out. It'd be jdgivens, G-I-V-E-N-S, 86 at gmail.com.
Okay. And if you're like, hey, I didn't have time to write that down, text me and I'll get it to you.
Absolutely.
As well. What are you working on now?
So I will go ahead and let you know, and this is safe for me to do because
the embargo's up. He can tell
because
us.
Because we've put a picture of it up on social, so I know it's safe. But coming off of the Judge Roy Bean piece, we've decided to dedicate the entire September issue to Jimmy and the Buffetts. So
awesome.
I got sent out to cover a piece on Lucy Buffett. And sit down with her, interview her, and we're going to be putting some of her, we're going to wrap about three, maybe four, I think it's going to be about three of her recipes around a feature story on her. She talked a lot about Jimmy. We got some great information on that, some great storytelling, some great memories.
Tons, well, sisters like to tell stories on their brothers.
Tons of really good memories. Oh, yeah. There may have been a little bit of tattletelling in there on a few things. I don't know if that'll make it into the article. So,
well, if not, really put that good in the bonus episode.
Yes.
Cause I wanna check that. Well, good. That times out perfectly with what's going to be the thing, I think, the catapult for the museum downtown.
Absolutely. That's exactly right.
You know, and it's been there. It's been a question of what would work. But the Mobile Tensile Delta and Jimmy Buffett, if you had to paint something that was a winner to me, that sure looks like it.
Absolutely, yep. And I think it's going to be it's going to be amazing for people to just dive into that much history of the Buffett family and to know the connections between between Mobile, between the local area and the culture and everything like that. There's just so much to tell there that a lot of people don't know.
September issue. All right. We're ready for it. Thank you. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back on.
And even we can talk before, but I know that come this story, we're talking again. So can I go ahead and book you again?
Yep, absolutely.
It's a done deal. Paul Feinbaum Show on the way next. Hey, y'all check out FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors tomorrow morning at 7. Brandon Lunsford, he is the trailer guy. You got a trailer under your boat? Do you know that it's going to get you to the Dolphin Island Rodeo and back? Well, he can tell you everything to look for and how to fix it. He's on with us tomorrow at 7.